A series today entitled You Ask For It, and what that actually means is these are topics that we had a survey at Easter where we ask you, what would you like for us to teach on, and what would you like to hear a teaching on, and each one of these I probably could develop a series of its own, and so we've taken the last 3 weeks we've talked about different topics, and this is kind of something that Jesus did. Jesus did the exact same thing. So it's not, I know sometimes people say, well, oh, you should be listening. I had somebody tell me this. You should listen to the Holy Spirit and he should tell you what to speak on, but not the people. And I'm like, oh, well, actually Jesus did this. His disciples would come to him and he would say, hey, what about this? And he would do a whole teaching on that topic, and things of heaven to, you know, the greatest to the servant to, you know, all these different things, and Jesus did that. So that's kind of what we're doing, and I believe that sometimes we need to take time to do this and actually deal with things that we're struggling with. Is that all right to say? And today's topic is no different. It is a topic that every person in this room struggles with. There's no one here that wouldn't struggle with this topic today. And so, but let me recap. Our first week, we talked about identity and who we are and who Christ sees us to be and who we should see ourselves once we're in Christ. And
people
how
reject me because I'm a gang member.
And so we want to kind of grow in our identity with Christ, and that's our goal. And then we talked about insecurity as well in that. The second week, we talked about is God listening? Does God actually hear us? And so,
you reject me because I'm a leader of a gang. You know, I'm sorry about that. I love you guys.
We love you too, brother. Sorry about that. Where was I? So we're talking about God listening, and does God actually listen? And really the question was, am I able to hear what he's saying? And I think that's probably more what we probably need to ask more than is God listening? Because I think God is listening. And we read that scripture out of 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. I challenge you to go home. It is a great refrigerator scripture that says that if we pray anything, ask anything according to the will of God, that we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we have the things that we ask for as our present possession. And so I believe God is listening. And then last week, we answered the question, what do I do when life is bad? And I know that was a message, I'll just be honest with you, that was one of those messages for me that I have been in those bad moments of life. Everybody knows what I'm talking about? And there's only one thing you can do, and that is God is the only source. We draw strength from him at that time. And so all of these messages will be available in the next few weeks out in our library, and we'd love for you to stop by there and grab those, and they're all free. You've already paid for them, so we're not going to make you pay for them again, right? Been in those churches. But today is one of those topics that this was actually our number one topic asked for, and that is, this is the title, My Mouth Gets Me in Trouble. And this, I'm not sure. So my wife drew up the survey. I'm not sure if she meant to write it like that so I would read it like that and it would be personal. My mouth gets me in trouble. Or she was writing it for herself when she wrote that down. I don't know. I kind of think the latter. But all of us are in this place. There's not a person in here that hasn't done the what we call put your foot in your mouth at times, right? And we come up with different things. So I found some quotes. I want to kind of give them to you today. The first one is my mouth is not a bakery. I don't sugarcoat anything. If you ask my opinion, I'm going to tell you the truth, not what you'd like to hear. Some of you have that personality, right? The next one is light travels faster than sound. This is why people appear bright until you hear them speak. Right? There's people in this room that are kind of like that. The next one is my smart mouth always gets me in trouble. And if it's not my mouth, it's my facial expressions. And I sometimes have that one where I'm like, I don't say a word, but people are like, I know what he's thinking. Sometimes I open my mouth and my mother comes out or your dad. And I'll talk about that just for a little bit today as well, because there should be something in this aspect that when you open your mouth, your father comes out, and I'm talking about your spiritual father. At times, I'm grateful that thoughts don't appear in bubbles over our heads. I am too, because people would really know what I was thinking then. I don't like to think before I speak. I like to be just as surprised as everyone else about what comes out of my mouth. I think that's true for some of us. And then the last one is, if you ran your mouth, if you ran like your mouth, you'd be in good shape. Oops. So, right? I think all of, I just found those quotes. No, I didn't make them up. So don't look at me going, wow, Pastor's straightforward today. I think there are things that we all can identify in those thoughts where we have our mouth kind of gets us in that place where it creates a division, a divide. And the number one place that division happens when we say the wrong things is where? Good. That's nice of you to know. It's in relationships, right? Nowhere else, right? You can't. Your mouth doesn't get you in trouble in, you know, this or that. Sometimes our attitude kind of goes with that, and I'll talk a little bit about that too. But relationships divide over what we say a lot of times more than what we do. Because words are, no matter what people may say and how we grew up, you know, words will never harm us. Words do harm us. Words are hurtful. They are painful. And unfortunately, the human nature of us all is held to a high standard or a higher standard than we hold ourselves to at times. So it's like, I can say things, or I can do things, or I can miss things, or I cannot be there for this or whatever, but you can't. And I think we got to be careful because sometimes we do this in the idea of, we'll hold somebody, well, that person's too straightforward. I've had people tell me that about my personality, and I understand that. I'm a very little gray in my personality. Some of you know me, you know that to be true. I'll give you an example. I was at a football game on Friday. I was at a high school football game in Yankton, and I was on the visitor side. I was standing there watching, and there was a deliberate. Our team had gotten 5 penalties on the way in the second half, and their team had none. You know, and that always doesn't settle well with me, right? Because I'm like, call it both ways. And so there was a blatant hold. A hold is when a guy comes rushing through, our defender come rushing through, and the offensive lineman grabbed him, and he was about to reach for the, and he threw him to the ground and fell on him. It was an off, you know, just right in front of the ref. And I'm like, hey, call the hold. That's all I said. And the guy popped up. He's like, that's how people end up in the hospital, with running their mouth. Well, you know me, I just can't leave that like it is. I'm like, whoever wants to put me in a house better bring a lunch, because it's going to be an all-day event. I actually just said, I'm just saying it as a whole, you know. No disrespect. Oh, you're disrespectful. And I'm like, and this guy's like 80. And somebody told me last night, boy, you got in a fight with that. That'd be looking bad on you. You're right. It would have. But I just kind of, you know, like ignored it for a little bit. And Zach and I were standing watching the game. I'm like, but it just, I kept hearing it out of this ear. Because I'm like, if you're for the visiting team, go to the other side, please. Because I'm getting agitated, right? Because so I finally just say, I said something in regards, I said, well, those refs deserve respect. I was like, they ref. I'm like, yeah, you're exactly right. And I said, how much do you guys pay him? But left it at that, and we moved on. You know me, it's the last word mentality. But the thing is that sometimes our mouth is the vessel driving it's what's driving our lives, and it really is. And I'm going to prove that today, what James says. And I'll start it with this. The Bible says, first of all, let me say this. The Bible says that the power of life and death is in the tongue. And so that tells me that your words are a rudder that steer the course of your life. So, and if you don't believe that power is in what you say, that power of life-giving, or there's cursing, if you would, is in that, Jen, I would challenge you, don't do this, but if you have a pet or if you have anything, I've known people that they were told that they were stupid all their life, and guess what they became the older they got? It was just that you end up becoming what people speak over your life. And it's very careful. You have to be very careful what you speak into people's lives, because it's going to either be life-giving or it can take the life away. And it can be death or separation. And so relationships, remember this, if you've been here before, you know this about this church. Relationships are the most important thing, I believe, on the planet. Number one, the relationship we have with the Father. And number two, the relationship we have with each other. And there's things that all of us do to separate ourselves in great relationships, by our actions or by our words. And I've done plenty of it. Don't get me wrong, I have. I've been a failure in so many ways. But the facts are that if you really want to know what sometimes life, if you say, I don't like the way life is, okay, there's a lot of ingredients that go into that, but one of it is your words. How you're speaking, what you're saying, and that produces a lot of other things in your life. And so let's start with that. And let me give you the scripture. And let me say this. The idea that your words are the rudder of your life is meaning you can steer your life with your words, with your tongue. And that's kind of what James says in this scripture. He says in James chapter 3, he says, we all stumble. So let's start right there. This is not a condemnation thing. I stumble, you stumble. James even saying, hey, he stumbled. Now, if you read James, you'll understand that he was a type A personality as well. And he was direct and strong. And if you get a chance to read that whole five chapters of the book of James, it's really a strong word. He's the half-brother of Jesus, so he's able to speak to some things. And he says this, we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what what they say is perfect. And we know there's nobody on the planet perfect. There's only one. That was Jesus. Able to keep their whole body in check because they're perfect. When we put bits in the mouths of horses, we can make them obey us. We can turn the whole animal. Or we can take ships as an example. Although they are large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder. Wherever the pilot wants to go, that's where they end up going. And so today, that's kind of my foundational scripture for this. And James is actually saying we can take a 1 pound bit and place it in a 1,000 pound animal, and we can make that animal go wherever we want. We can take a 5 foot rudder on a large ship that weighs tons, and we can steer that ship with that 5 foot rudder. And that's a lot of the truth. And he says the tongue is overlooked by people. It's a small comparison to the influence that it has in your life and in the lives of other people. And in verse 5, he goes on, he says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes a great boast. It has this great ability. He said, consider what a great forest is set on fire by simply a small spark. In other words, it has much bigger impact than the weight that it is. So one of the worst things, the lightest thing, if you would, or the smallest things of our body can get us in the greatest trouble that we ever encounter. And oftentimes it's true. And James is talking about this in a negative. Well, I want you to see this. And James, the whole part of that A third chapter is about this negative aspect of how the tongue is it contains so much evil, and there's cursing in it, and there's a blessing of people, and we that same thing, we curse people, and how can salt water and fresh water come out of the same spring? He's like, redeem your thoughts, redeem your tongue. And he says, and it's how the words we speak can be a negative thing, and he talks about this whole thing. And that was the premise of this question when we started out and we asked it. Duana wrote up the questions and kind of gave the suggestion. That was the premise of it, the negative thought. My mouth gets me in trouble, but I don't want to go that direction. The trouble that it causes is not the topic today. I actually want to focus on the solution. Because here's what God revealed to me as I put this message together on Thursday. Is that what James is using as a negative, that the spiritual law, although all spiritual laws have a negative connotation to them, they were first written with a positive effect. All spiritual laws have a positive effect. I want you to catch that. So even though James is speaking about this spiritual law, your tongue being the course, setting the course of life, and it being a negative thing that he's writing about, the spiritual law first came about, God first gave it in a positive way. Example, our thought life can torment our minds, right? You can worry and stress about things that you're not even encountering yet. How many has done that, right? Probably this week. Right? You can worry and stress over it, and it's not even there. It's like having a test, and you haven't even taken the test. You're just stressed about the test before you ever got to the test. Right? And our thought life can take us that way. But God gave us that same thought life to make plans and have vision and prepare for the future, and you do that so well. Are you with me? Right? So use the word imagination. Okay? So imagination. Imagination can be a bad thing. We imagine all these bad things that are happening. I just imagine. And then we have this imagination that can create and be creative and see things and go further and do things and plan and have future things. And that's the positive effect. So every negative thing that the spiritual law can show you, there was first written for a positive effect. And that's something God began to deal with me about when we talked about words. If our words can steer our life, then we might as well start off in the right direction of life. And a great example of this story is the story of David and Goliath. You know, you're going to say, how do you get that? Well, let me give you the story real quick. I'll set the story up. Here it is. 1 Samuel. We all kind of know this story, but I'm going to give you some new thoughts here. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. Goliath stood and he shouted. Now, I want you to catch that part. I highlighted that. He stood and he shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me." And he keeps going. He says, "If he's able to fight and kill me, we'll become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." And then the Philistines said, highlighted again, "This day I defy the armies of Israel." Now these are great armies. This is the greatest army ever assembled in the history of mankind. "And give me a man and let him fight. Let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and afraid or terrified. I found that to be an interesting read. I sat down and read this story because I thought, okay, God, how do I incorporate this into this? And the Lord just began to speak to me about all the highlighted words in that. Is that, think about how tall this guy stood. Most people believe that measures out to over 7 feet, or almost 8 feet, I think. No, 9 feet, excuse me, 9 feet. That he measures out 9 feet. I don't know what his weight would have been. And he's standing out there. He could have done so many amazing things, like, right? He'd go get a chariot, pick it up and bench press it, or he'd crush something, tear some phone books in halves, right? Break some bats over his knee, all that stuff, power team stuff they used to do. And he could have done all that to impress. The only thing he does is speak. That's it. And by speaking, he's able to take the greatest army on the planet and terrify them by speaking. David is sent to check on his brothers. They're all freaking out, right? Hiding because the words have this incredible power. And David's coming to check on his brothers, and he gets there and he says, "Hey, I'll fight this guy." Right? Here's this little kid, right? That's kind of the I was just thinking of, you know, children I know. You always have one. It's like, man, I'll take care of that person. Who's he? He's 9 foot tall and 700 pounds. I got him. Right? And that kid is like 120 pounds soaking wet. And David comes out. He sees Goliath. He's angry. And Goliath sees David because now they're sending him out. And he's like, can you imagine? You're this grown man and you're huge and they're sending you a kid. Right? So let's pick up the story there. He says, he said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David. So again, his words, he's trying to intimidate. By his gods, come here, he said, I'll give your flesh to the birds and to the wild animals. Now, I want to correlate that with another scripture, okay? And that's in Isaiah, watch this. He says, no weapon formed against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is the vindication, and their vindication for me, declares the Lord. So God gives this promise that not only will no weapon formed against you, no weapon that the enemy can form in creation or out of enemies or whatever can prevail against you, and no matter what people say will prevail over you. That's what God's promise is to you and I, if we know Him. He says, the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication for me, declares the Lord. God's got your back. No matter what people say, what people do, or let me say this too, no matter what you say, God's still got your back. Because remember the first scripture, I said, we all stumble in this area. None of us are perfect. We all stumble when it comes to our tongue. So I want to kind of come back to that scripture. What that means is there's times, though, where when David's coming out, right? He's coming out to meet the giant. The giant's getting ticked off. But there's times where we have to rise up to the challenge. And not one of these Israelites said anything to Goliath. For 40 days, he had been able to trash talk them the whole time. And he's paralyzed the greatest army God ever assembled on the earth with just his words. Paralyzed. Words. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, this is what it says. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. I'll strike you down and cut your head off. And this very day I'll give your carcass to the Philistine army, to the birds and the wild animals. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. This is David speaking. And all those gathered here will know that it is not by the sword or by spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord, and He will give all of you into our hands. Now everybody knows what happens to Goliath, right? David runs out there. He shows that he is a teenager, that he's, you know, even at that age, he's able to get ahead. And he, you guys didn't catch that. He cuts off his head, let me say it like that. And he shows that he's able to move forward. He advanced the Israelite army. But a very few of us realize that what David did in that scripture is that David did nothing that he didn't speak before he did it. Everything that David did, he spoke. He said it. Everything that Goliath was to make fear arise in the Israelite army, all he was doing was speaking. And what happened was, out of his speaking, his mouth got him in trouble. Because when you speak against God, I'm not going to say that God's bringing something against you, but I'm just telling you, this is the idea for me, is that I want to make sure that I'm speaking with God or for God or about God, not against God. That's just a story there in the story. And everything he does, he speaks for David's words, meant he laid a place for him to go. And some of you need to hear this, is that your words are creating pathways or roadblocks. And sometimes why we ask the question, why does my mouth get me in trouble, or when my mouth gets me in trouble, It's because when we speak, oftentimes, either we're laying the street to go somewhere, or we're laying the roadblock to not get there. And especially in relationships. Because if you go home and in your relationship, and I'm just telling you honestly, okay, I'm going to meddle just a little bit. If you're in a relationship and what you do is in your fights are not arguments, but then the arguments turn into where you start speaking to each other like you are the terrible, you're blah, blah, blah. And then you start cursing one another or you start telling each other how blankety blank you da, da, da. I'm just telling you, you're setting roadblocks in that relationship that can't overcome. And the only way they overcome is when you give God back the relationship and you start speaking the truth in love. Are you with me? I know it's not an exciting message, but I got to say it. Because oftentimes what happens is we get into these relationship tug wars, right? Because we want to be right and we're stubborn. I'm not a stubborn guy by any stretch. But I'm married. Let's get off that. So, now there's things where we have this pulling, right? Or pulling against each other. And the idea, though, is that when we have those moments, what am I going to say? Because what I say is steering the direction of this course. And I want to just tell you this. I want to go back to this. The idea that when our mouth gets us in trouble, you have one of two directions to go. You can either continue to fight and let it happen, or you can seek restoration and forgive and move forward. That's what God's plan is. But so many of us, right? Words get us into trouble when we remember things that the other one did that we said we forgave them over. I know that's a tough one, but it's true. I've done it. You've done it, right? We say, let's get past this. I'm sorry. I forgive you. Okay. And then 6 months later, we recount that. And so there's no restoration because we're still remembering. And you think, well, yeah, but that's just because they did it again. Okay, how many times did you do that to God? And God says, hey, I don't even recall that. That's what he does. I don't even recall that. I think sometimes our mouth is getting us in trouble because how we're defining the relationship. And David is speaking, I go back to this, David is speaking this, he does nothing that he doesn't speak. And he speaks this word and he lays the path. He's built a place to go. And David sets the course of his life first. And then, because let me say it with this, he sets the path, a course of his life first by what he spoke, because death and life are in the power of the tongue. Listen, every one of us know we need God's word in our heart, but we also need it in our mouth. We need to fill our hearts with his word so that when trouble comes, it's the word that's coming out of us, not our word. Because trouble, what usually happens is trouble comes between people. That's where trouble comes, in relationships, in issues that arise with, in the way we feel. And if we don't have God's word coming out of us, we'll have our word coming out of us. And if we don't have our word coming out of us, we'll have the enemy's word coming out of us. Something's going to come out. And we have to fill our hearts with the word. What David did was he set a path for his feet by what he said. Goliath comes and says, send me a man. And God says, I don't need a man to kick your butt. I'll send a kid. Right? I mean butt in the Greek. I mean rear, whatever you want. Right? And one kid who knew how to speak God's word turned history. So how do we get our words right? How do we get it to where our mouth is moving us in a better direction? Because that's really our thought. Well, you have to know that a major part of getting your words right is getting your thoughts right. If you don't control your thought life, you can't gain control of your tongue. Those two are inseparable. And it's true. The moment you gain control of your thoughts is the moment you can gain control of your tongue. And you can't yield your tongue to the Lord until you've gained control of your tongue yourself. You say, well, Pastor, I don't want control. I want God to have control. Yeah, okay. But you have to, or let me say, you have to gain control of the thoughts to give your tongue to the Lord. You have to yield that. And if you don't get control of that thought life, when we lose control of our thought life, we lose control of what we say. And when that happens, our spiritual life runs out of control. I'll give you an example. Watch this. James chapter 1, verse 26 says, those who consider themselves to be religious. If you're Christianity, I'm a Christian pastor. I love God, okay? You consider yourself to be that, and yet you do not keep a tight rein on your tongue. You deceive yourself, and your Christianity, or what you profess, your love for Christ, is in vain. I didn't write it. This is James speaking, the straightforward guy. All right? In order for our belief system to be effective, we have to control the things that come out of our mouth. The words of our mouth can create turmoil. First of all, in our minds, then in our hearts, and unfortunately, in our lives. And that's paving the way that we're going. How many of you have ever ordered something that you had to sign for? If you've done that, what it is, when you sign for something, what you're saying is, you're saying, I accept that package. And that's what happens when we speak. Our words are an indication of our acceptance of the thing, of that certain thing. And we need to understand that there are certain things that we shouldn't accept. There are certain circumstances that we shouldn't accept. There are certain issues that we shouldn't accept. There are certain things spoken over our relationship or our life that we shouldn't accept. And so when you say, I agree, or when you speak your word in that behalf, you're saying, I accept that circumstance. But even before circumstances come, there are some things that we have to say no to. And those are the thoughts that we have to reject. And one of the things I don't do well, and probably that most of us don't do well, and I'm going to give you this first one, and that is that you have to take charge of your thoughts. Who's in charge of how you think? That's all I'm saying. Because if you're saying to me, my mouth gets me in trouble, then my first question is going to be, well, who's in charge of the way you think? Right? That's what I was asking myself at that football game. Right? Who's in charge? Yeah. I'm in charge right now because he ain't having the last word. I know some of you afterwards are like, Pastor, yeah, but he was 80. You're right. But I'm in that moment. I'm in a football game, man. Don't touch football. Right? It's like Vikings. Some of you love the Vikings or the Packers, right? That's next to God. I'm sorry, no, they both have lost a lot. So God is not a loser, right? So you love that stuff. You're so passionate about it. You paint your face and rip off your shirt and write a big V on your chest. If you had a nice chest, you'd do that. But or no belly, whatever. You do that because of passion, right? The problem is, in my opinion, is that we do all that stuff and we're excited about that stuff. That's great and that's exciting. And that's the way I am. But sometimes that goes so far because our thoughts aren't yielded to the Lord. Our thoughts aren't His. That's why He says, your thoughts aren't my thoughts. And there's some things that just because you have that thought doesn't mean it's your thought. And it doesn't mean it needs to come out of your mouth. Man, that's a good statement. Just because you have a thought doesn't mean you need to tell me your thought. I had that conversation with my children one time. When Jesus was teaching on the Mount, He said this, don't receive every thought. Actually, He says receive no thought. Meaning we have suggestions and thoughts offered to us by unseen and seen forces. And if we accept those, they can become the things that we never wanted in our life. They can become words that we spoke that we didn't want to and we wish we could take back. We have to learn to take thoughts captive. This is what the Bible says. Paul said this. 2 Corinthians, he says, for though we live in this world, we do not wage war like the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they are divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every petition that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now, I want to just stop you right there real quick, and I want to say this. So many people get into this scripture, and they start talking about spiritual warfare, and it's all mystic and all. None of that is about things that are way out there and demonic things. It's actually arguments. Is that a spiritual thing? That's just a flesh thing you and I have. Thoughts. He says, weapons we fight with are not as the world. So every time the world does something, I'm really bad. This is my, I'll just tell you, I'm a bad person when I drive down the road and somebody does something stupid, I tell them, you're an idiot. Right? It rattles right out of my mouth. And unfortunately, I know some of you are just like me. And you're like, oh, Pat, I never do that, all right? Well, I apologize right now if I've done that to you then. But I'm telling you, it's a natural thing because I'm a common sense person, right? Everything's common sense. I'm driven by common sense. If it's not common sense, I drive myself by that. So I'm like, okay, let's just do this. Let's make it. Why are you turning from that? Why are you sitting at a green light? Because you're texting. And I want to just take your phone, break it in half, and hand it back. But that's the way I'm aggressive driver. I'm, you know what I mean? I'm not road rage. I'm aggressive.
I've been tailgated by you.
I know. What's funny about that is I only tailgate slow people. I got to stop right there because some thoughts had come to my mind. And I don't want them to come out of my mouth. But Jesus says, or Paul says, not everything's a spiritual battle. Quit giving spiritual battle names of things that are taking place between you and a loved one or you and a spouse or you and a friend. A spiritual thing. It's arguments. It's demolishing arguments. Every petition that sets itself against the knowledge of God, we take captive every thought and bring it to the obedience of Christ. Some thoughts cannot be allowed to roam freely because they create a headache in your life. I say this, rogue thoughts become rogue words, and rogue words destroy the effectiveness of our belief and witness. It's true. I'm in that boat, as we just saw. Many of us, even though we believe the right things, when we allow rogue things words to escape our lips, it affects, as James said, it affects our very Christianity. Remember, that's our goal, is to show people the love of Jesus, not to show them, you know, it's not to peel the banana. I won't go any further. Here's the second one. Make God's word your own word. I think so often as we say, that's God's word. Okay, but God never wanted it just to be his word. He wanted to put it in your heart that it became your word. When Tammy and I sit down and have lunch together, oftentimes he talks about God's word more than anybody I've ever sat down and talked to in my lifetime. And I'm sitting with him, and he'll say, what changed my life was start reading the word of God. I got in the word of God, and we'll start talking about the word of God. And I love scripture. I love scripture. And the thing about it is, to me, I try to memorize as many, I don't try to memorize word for word scriptures. I try to memorize where it's located a lot of time. That way, when somebody calls upon me to do something, I'm like, I know that scripture's found in this or that area. And so for me, it's not that I got to have it word for word. I got to have where it's located so I can look it up quick. And so, but in Hebrews chapter 4, this is one of my favorite. He tells us, the writer of Hebrews says, the word of God is alive. It's active. It's powerful. And he says, sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrows. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes or the intents of the heart. Here's probably the most powerful thing I'll say today. Do you realize? I'll show you how powerful words are. You cannot even be a Christian without words. You say, well, Pastor, I believe in Christ. That doesn't make you a Christian. The Bible says that it's when you believe in your heart, but then you confess it with your mouth. Your own salvation is predicated upon words. That's the power. That's the power of words. So many people say, oh, there's not much power in words. There's a lot of power in words because it's what saves you. It's what gives you that place, that right standing in God, not your belief, because the devil believes. Right? He believes in God. But his confession isn't there. You can't just believe. You're powerful. Powerful words. Romans chapter 8, I'll show it to you. Or 10, verse 8 says, the word that saves is right here. As near as the tongue in your mouth, as close as the heart in your chest. It's the word of faith that welcomes God to go to work and set things right for us. Make the word of God your own word. Here's the last one, and then we'll pray. And that is guard your heart. I think one of the worst things that we do, we let anything in. And one of the things I always believed, my parents used to say, garbage in, garbage out. And I know that's an old statement, but and probably younger people today are like, but it's true. You have to guard your heart. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, I didn't put this in your notes. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. You can go home and read it. It says, guard your heart, for out of it come the issues or the wellspring of life. And actually that in the Hebrew is the borders of life. The borders. Guard your heart. Don't let anything just penetrate your heart. Don't let anything in there. In Matthew chapter 12, I'll close with a scripture. He says, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man or a good woman have the good things stored up in their heart. They'll bring forth good things. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you'll be condemned. A powerful scripture that Jesus spoke. I'm just here today not to say, hey, I don't even know really how to overcome this area. You know, when my mouth gets me in trouble, I can't tell you I can overcome that one. Because James said this, the only way to do it is you got to bridle it. And there's days that I don't bridle it well. But the thing I've learned is those three things, is I have to take captive the thoughts. I have to put God's word in my mouth so that what comes out of my mouth, it's kind of like hitting your hand with a hammer, right? I'd always watch my dad. He was never a great example of a father, but one of the things when he gave his life to the Lord that changed, radically changed in him. As I remember working with him, and I would always see him, if he was nailing something, he hit himself, or he cut off his finger one time. I remember him running around the house, and he was, oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That's what he did. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Duana can tell you, Bear, I do this to this day. When I hurt myself, and I'm like, oh, thanks, God. Nothing profane comes out of my mouth. I just don't do it. It's just not there. Usually I laugh pain off. That's my mechanism of trying to deal with it. I may be crying at the same time, but I'm laughing. But the idea for me is it stuck with me. And he would say things, and I remember him quoting scripture, he would be heard, or he'd be this, and it just stuck with me. And it began to resonate in my heart that to make God's word my own, that it will come out of my mouth. And then you have to learn to guard your heart. You know, I'm going to tell you why you guard your heart. Because the enemy's looking for any way to destroy your heart. Because if he can take captive, watch this, if he can captivate your heart, all the things I've preached on so far about insecurity, identity, all of that goes away. You never know who you are in Christ. You find out that God's not, you feel like he's so distant. You really can't live it, so you don't, why even try? But when you guard your heart and you let the things of God in and you keep the things that God doesn't want out, I'm telling you what happens is it doesn't make you a bad person. It shows you the joy and what it is to serve him. How God created you to be. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me just for a minute before we go. I just want to pray over you. And Father, I thank you for the word today. I pray, God, that you'd help us to. Let's pray something that was said today will penetrate our hearts and we'll learn from it, grow in it. Lord, not an easy word to teach on, especially when I don't know that there's any one recipe that we can kind of come up with and say, this is it. This is how we do it, God. I think there's a lot of things that go into it. But I do think our hearts, our thoughts, our minds, all, Lord, play a part in what comes out of our mouth. Kind of rides the elevator, if you would. And so I thank you today for every life here today, God. None of us, as James said, none of us are perfect. We all stumble. In this area especially. So Lord, I pray, help us. Help us to do better with what we say, how we treat one another, what we speak to each other, so that our religion, that our Christianity, our love for you isn't in vain, because we disqualify ourselves by what we say and do, or the actions we profess. Help us to learn that what we say is so powerful that it's what created us, our relationship with you. Father, the negative is the same way, Lord. That it can divide relationships as well. So help us put, as the Bible says in Psalm, it says, Lord, that help us to put our hand over our mouth at times. I thank you, God, for your word. And maybe we're here today. Maybe there's someone in this room today, God, that has never made that profession, never spoke the word of God, never said, God, come into my life. I receive salvation. Or maybe they have, but they've walked away from it. God, today is a new day. And Father, all we have to do is, the Bible says, believe in our heart, to confess you with our mouth, that Jesus Christ is our Lord and we'll be saved. Greatest day of my life, that day. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, just for a moment, if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, that's me. That last part is me. You'd say, will you just pray for me? I just want to recommit my life to Christ. I want to make that confession to the Lord. If you'd say, that's me, Pastor, will you pray for me? Anybody in this room, say, I'll do that. I want to make things right between me and God. I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up, put it right back down. Anybody in this room before we go? Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. I know it takes a lot of, it's a fearful process, but I'm just telling you, God's in it. God's in it. And it can change your life forever. So if you raised your hand, I'll just ask you to pray a prayer right where you're sitting. Seating, just pray this thought. Father, come into my heart. I receive your Son Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. I confess him as my personal Savior and Lord. I believe he is your Son. Today, he's my Savior. Forgive me of my wrong, my sin. I walk away from it and I turn to you. And I give you thanks for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Did you get the word today? Can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Amen.